We're going to take a break. That is part one, the Commandant of the Marine Corps. He's a, as you can tell, he's a straight ahead guy, and loves Marines, and loves sports too, if you can't tell, and loves the history and culture of the Marine Corps. So Bob Neller, one of the best officers I've ever served with, and down to earth. I had a Marine tell me recently that he had to inform one of his Marines that his wife had miscarried and was not going to be able to send him home from the deployment. And after he talked to the Marine, he asked his company commander and his first sergeant, "Hey, I've spoken to him. Would you guys
like, right, next question? Keep your honor clean.
Would you like to speak to him?" That's part two. So we'll stand by that. Would you like to speak to this Marine? Both asked them the same question. Have you spoken to him? Yes. No, I'm good. I don't need to. If I told Neller that, Neller would rip their heads off and kill him. Yeah, it would be something out of, some sci-fi movie. Except it'd be real. Head off. Boom. Rolling down the street. I mean, he loves the Marine Corps, has huge passion, obviously, for Marines and leading them and taking care of them. And doesn't suffer idiots at all. So he's a good guy. And you can hear that simply in his answers, and you wouldn't expect anything less of the Commandant. But, I mean, it's interesting for me because I've known him for such a long time. We're going to take another break. We'll come back, part two. Another 35-minute segment. So all Bob Neller Radio on All Marine Radio coming up next here on the home of All Marine Radio, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, next question. Keep your honor clean. I was talking to one of the company commanders at Quezon, and he said, hey, Max, do you know much about My Lai? And I said, well, you know, I know the basics. And then after we got off the phone, I started thinking, and I thought, how the hell do I not know more about My Lai? So I started watching videos and reading reports about it. And I was stunned because my assumptions about My Lai were completely false. My assumption was, guys been in country a long time, they're pissed off, they fought, and they lose it because of the rage they have inside of them. Been in country 7 weeks, had not been in a major firefight with either the NVA or the Viet Cong. And so I started to burrow deeper. The conclusion I come to is has me then look at, tie it to Keep Your Honor Clean. I watch videos of these guys when the story breaks in 1970. It happens in 68, and they're kind of still towing the party line, talking about. But you can see the anxiety in them about what happened. 20 years later, they talk about how it's ruined their life. The one young black soldier, he shows you the medications that he's on from the VA. 3 suicide attempts later, his 3-year-old son was shot and killed in the front yard of his mother's home in a stray round from a gang event. As he's holding his son as he's dying, he says in the interview, I knew God at that point had taken his revenge on me. And it struck me about Keep Your Honor Clean. Because to me, I don't know how we teach Keep Your Honor Clean, because I haven't sat through any period of instruction on it. But to me, the reason you keep your honor clean is not for the Marine Corps, because and the Marine Corps is a collateral beneficiary. You keep your honor clean for you because you've got to live with it. As Maximus says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Are Marines buying? And I'll tell you what, sir, the videotape is so powerful. I was blown away by the interviews with these guys and then the interviews 20 years later. Are Marines buying Keep Your Honor Clean? Is it a hokey, they want me to do it for the Marine Corps, which is clearly not the case. If anybody steps up, right, in 3-5, in Hamandia, nobody goes to the brig, nobody gets killed, nobody gets drugged through the media and all of that stuff. If somebody steps up and says, hey, we're not pissing on bodies. What are you doing? Knock that shit off. None of that stuff happens. None of those guys have all that negative stuff that happens, the same stuff at Paris Island. And so in every one of these leadership failures, there's leaders standing around that when McNamara says,
you know, hey, here's what we're doing, boys. Neller looks at me and says, hey, that's not cool. And I say, hey, shut up, man. What are you going to do? And you say, well, I warned him. Are the Marines buying Keep Your Honor Clean? And are they buying it to the point of confrontation where I'll say, no, screw you, Neller. Do you want to fight? Let's go. But we're not doing that.
It's just like hazing. It's like any other behavior we know is wrong. And we, you know, it takes moral courage to do that. And are they buying it? I think most are. But again, you know, you and I got a context. I mean, I just read a quote the other day. It is unfortunate that now that I'm old, I have wisdom. And we consider and we try to give the young Marines the benefit of our wisdom, and whether they understand it or believe it or not, or whether it's reinforced, I believe it is in most cases. Because, I mean, we had Hamdiya and there was Haditha, but then think of all the other thousands and thousands and thousands of decisions those Marines made over there every day,
right,
where they did exactly the right thing.
Right.
So, yeah, there are a couple cases where, you know, somebody didn't stand up. And, I mean, I've had the same discussion. I'm like, look, I'm a new Marine. You're going to haze me? No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. You want to fight? Let's fight. I'll fight right now. Because I'm not going to do that, because I know that's wrong. And you know you're wrong. So I'll accept the consequences, because I'm not going to do what's wrong. Because I was taught the right way. I was taught the right way at recruit training. And, you know, and every Marine has a choice. We all got choices. You know, you told me not to go along, but I got time if you got time.
No, I got time.
I met with the head coach of the New Zealand national rugby team, the All Blacks, guy named Steve Hansen, who were talking about how he picks his team and how he doesn't have a problem finding talent, but he's really looking for character. And he goes, we took him down to OCS and he's seen our training. He says, what I'm looking for, he said, our players got to understand, just like your Marines have to understand that, you know, only, just like you said, part of your being is being a Marine. One day you're not going to be a Marine. So what do you got left? Well, you got your family. You got your friends. You got your honor and your integrity and your reputation. And you got your health. So that's why when we talk today, when we're talking to young recruits working to become or earn the title Marine, or young Marines learning to become better Marines. Hey, look, this is a package deal. You can't just be competent as a Marine. You need to be competent as a teammate, as a family member, as a friend. You got to be fit. You have to have moral. You know, there's physical courage on a battlefield, which, you know, you do what you got to do to keep yourself alive or your friends alive.
Right.
But there's the moral courage. Like, look, one day I'm not going to be a Marine, and what am I going to have to fall back on? And I'm sure that's what happened to these guys in Milai.
Oh.
I mean, if you read Caputo's What Rumor of a War,
right,
you know, he makes excuses or whatever. But I mean, you know, and war makes us all do, even if it's within the law, within the rules, you do it. I mean, you're taking somebody's life. It's not a natural thing. So you shouldn't do that lightly. If it's business, okay, and the nation's responsibility and our responsibility to say, okay, that's all right, you did that honorably and properly. You fought, you defeated the enemy. But there are some things that are not, and you can't reconcile those.
And nobody can rescue you when you've done them for the rest of your life, and you can't rinse them out of your head. I had Carl Marlanis on, have you met Ken Rogers? He made the video about the documentary about Quezon, Bravo.
No.
Unbelievable video, and it's about their 77 days at Quezon. And so after I did the Milai, I did a few days about Milai, and because I was just blown away by it. And I linked it, and we had discussions about Keep Your Honor Clean, and do you think young guys get it? Showing them these kind of videos so powerful, because it's way better than, you know, Captain McNamara giving a lecture, although I did give good lectures, but way better than me. Marlanis talked about seeing his Marines with ears, and they were fighting in the North Central Highlands of Vietnam against the NVA. And he walks over and he says, "Where'd you get those?" And the Marines point to a stack of bodies, and he tells a story in his book, "What It's Like to Go to War." and he says, come with me. And they went over, and he makes them find the bodies they took the ears from, and he makes them bury them. And he said, I walked back over there about 15 minutes later, and both guys had tears come down their face, right? We dehumanize our enemies, and then we start to act like barbarians, and it's leadership that brings us back. And the reason I had these guys, because I wanted to ask, was mutilation, rape, all the garbage you hear about My Lai, was that part of the world that you guys lived in? And Marlena said, no, and drugs, no, that wasn't the world I lived in anyway. I asked Ken Rogers, he said, late in the battle for Quezon, when the NDA got scarce, we went looking for him. And we're on a patrol, and we walk by this pile of decomposed bodies, and one of the Marines of the patrol reaches in and grabs a femur and sticks it in his war belt. And he said, I don't know, within 5 minutes, one of our sergeants walks up, and he says, get rid of that right now. And he said, they both said, Vietnam wasn't unique other than it was unique like every other conflict. But that leadership is leadership wherever you go. And when you hear these stories about rape and about the drug use and things like that, those are emblematic of poorly led units, and they are in every conflict that we fight. That Vietnam was not different, and it's leadership that trumps all of that. And so I thought it was incredibly riveting to hear them talk about those instances and about the role of leadership, eyeball to eyeball leadership, and then I even played General Zinni. I have him doing a PME in 1989 in Quantico, talking about showing up and seeing guys with scalps, and he grabbed them, and he said, and he burned the covers, and he said, this shit is not going to happen anymore, and then he said, you know the look I got from him, And I thought, they were pissed. And he said they were relieved. They don't want to do that stuff. And so this whole concept of keep your honor clean. And the other point is, it's in the song, for God's sakes. Do you think they knew back when they wrote the song, first to fight for right and freedom? We can find something else to rhyme with freedom, can't we? But they slide in and to keep your honor clean? Did they know back then the mental? Do you remember Lance Y, gunnery sergeant? Big guy?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Was he the one that was in Larry's PSD?
No. He was my gunnery sergeant, played first sergeant for a time when I was Alpha Company. The best advice I ever got from anybody in my life was the day this helicopter crashes in my assembly area. The pilot's decapitated. The co-pilot's crushed to death. Trying to save the crew chief and a corporal that just went along for the ride. You're trying as hard as you can to save them. They're trying as hard as they can to live, and they're dying. And there's nothing you can do, and it sucks. So late, they die en route to the hospital. And so Y comes up to me late in the day, and he says, "How you doing?" And I said, "I haven't really had time to think about it." And he says, "You're never going to get over this." And I looked at him, and I said, "What did you say to me?" He said, "You're never going to get over this." And this is a quote. "I'm not exactly effing sure, but I'm pretty effing sure that the effing therapist doesn't say that to the effing patient right about now. So why don't you get the F away from me?" And he said, "No, you need to know that." I said, "Where did that come from?" He said, "Vietnam."
Yeah.
And I've given that. My sister had her two sons murdered, and I think she's alive because of that advice, because it mentally prepares you for the aftermath of these kind of things. And having a guy like Lance White, that was the oral mental health tradition of the Marine Corps. And I thought, where did Y get that? Where did Vietnam guys get that? Well, they got it from Korea guys, World War II guys that they served with.
Well, because they had to survive, and nobody's going to come back from war the same.
Right. And in this circular kind of discussion was the concept that you keep your honor clean first and foremost for you, because you got to live with it. And as you said, what do you have left? You have your character. You have what you've done in your life. And I think the heaviest burden in life is to have to go through life knowing that you failed and nobody can lift that burden from you, and you have to live with it for eternity.
No, I mean, whatever it is, survivor's guilt, or you made a mistake, or you know in your heart, or maybe you just think. I mean, I think that's what causes a lot of guys come back from the fight, that they feel guilty, they didn't do enough. In most cases, it's not true. But they don't have their friends there to do, like you and I are having this discussion, like, no, it wasn't your fault. Nothing you could do. And then I remember there was a guy, an officer in Ramadi, and they were doing a checkpoint, and they were near the hospital. It was dark, and the vehicle was coming at them, and they went through the whole ROE thing correctly and properly, and they ended up shooting up the car, and it was a husband and a sister taking the wife to the hospital because she was in labor, and they killed them all. And I knew this guy, I knew his dad. I went to see him the next day. Somebody's just got to say to you, hey, look, you didn't do anything wrong. You did what you had to do to protect your Marines. You didn't know. But you're right, he'll never forget that. In fact, he actually got out, and he's a physician. And I think part of his desire to become a doctor is I think he's trying to
atone.
He wants to help people. He doesn't, you know, because of what he, and all the Marines are with him. They did what they had to do. They didn't do anything wrong. They had a horrible outcome.
Right.
But you should have remorse. And somebody's got to say, hey, it's okay. But I hear you. I mean, I think young Marines get it? No, I don't know if you can get it until you've been there. And we can tell them. And we can explain them. And warriors train young warriors by telling them stories like you just told. And we need to tell more stories, and we got to get away from kind of the history that's all ooh-rah, ooh-rah. I'm sure that you know, when the Marines walked off, first Mardiv got relieved by the Army, and second Mardiv was there. That's another myth of Guadalcanal. You know, second and 8th Marines were there all the time. They just weren't there as a division. But, you know, there weren't a lot of people going ooh-rah, ooh-rah. No, and did you ever see anybody when they rip toe? And I mean, they're just, hey.
No, spent.
They're spent. And then we talk about it. I'm like, okay, what happened? And what about this? What about that? You know, hey, I should have been there. No, you know, I was there. You did everything you were supposed to do. And he still died, okay? And it wasn't you. So make that count for something in the way you live your life. Well, I think maybe the way we talk about it, you know, again, I think in the aggregate, we've got really good people and they're honorable and they understand keeping their honor clean, and we just need to do a little better job of making sure people understand that. And that's going to come from sitting down, talking, and having a conversation face to face, not sending, you know, posts to each other. And we can look at our Facebook page, but at the end of the day, though, part of being a Marine is say, look, you can't quit. Never quit. No matter how tough it gets, and the job of every other Marine is to help every other Marine succeed. That's my number one mission. Every Marine is successful. If everybody's successful and they're good teammates, we'll have the kind of Marine Corps. We have a good Marine Corps. Some days we have a great Marine Corps. But we can get better. We don't need to have bad things happen to get better. I just need everybody to kind of buy in. Because we're not making this stuff up, just like, you know, this. We've learned all this stuff over years and years and years.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of discovery that needs to go on.
Right. No.
It's like I could tell you, if I told you I could give you some advice that had almost 100% probability of improving your success in life, would you be interested in knowing what that is? You'd probably say yes. And I would say, hey, you need to be more respectful of alcohol. But yet, that point gets lost because people think you're trying to tell them how to live their life. No, I'm just telling you what your life is going to be like if you don't have behavior that's going to contribute to success.
Let me switch gears and ask you a gender question. Lauren Serrano, Captain, United States Marine Corps, wrote, who's, I don't know if you ever met her, but she's pretty interesting. Marine officer. Grandfather was killed in Lady Gulf on the USS Johnson, and where she gets her patriotism runs deep in her family. But she wrote an article recently in the Gazette talking about
does the Marine Corps still want me? And when she came on, one of the things I love about All Marine Radio is you can expand on the written word, because we can do this for longer and say more. She said, I was the girl that the Marine Corps is recruiting today. I wrestled boys in high school. I was a captain of my soccer team. But I came in the Marine Corps, and I've changed, though. I got married. I've had two kids. The migration of our physical fitness test requires me to spend more time in the gym to be the woman that the Marine Corps seems to want. Do they still want me? So I pose that question. Does the Marine Corps still want women who don't care to be in the combat arms, who absolutely want to be professional Marine officers or enlisted Marines, but they also are moms, and all that entails? How do you respond to that?
I read the captain's article. I mean, of course we want her. If she's competent and good at her job, and it seems like she is, I want her to stay. She made some choices. I mean, it's tough. It's tougher for women because they're the ones that bear the burden of childbirth. They're the ones that have to carry the child, have to deliver the child, and then because of many things, you know, the burden falls unfairly on them. And you and I have seen that with our own families. But
absolutely,
yeah, I do. And we've tried to write the fitness thing specifically that, so that if there are situations like this year, you know, I wanted to do the row, but I didn't because my shoulder hurt, so I ran. Okay, but my shoulder's jacked up, so I decided to do push-ups. But so at this stage, at the age of 64, I took my test, my PFT, for the 78th time.
Ooh.
And I passed. So because it's more important to compete and do a full test than it is. So I think we've set it up to take it to the people that are in, you know, maybe they got hurt or there's something stuff going on, that they can still take the test. You know, so you got people like her, like the captain at one end, you've got other people at the other end saying it ought to be the same, and if they can't do it, you know, they should all get out.
Right.
So there's place here. We can find a place. You know, just like everybody else, you got people out there in the spectrum who want it to be nice, be one way or the other. It's going to be what's best for the Marine Corps. I want everybody to be a good Marine. I want everybody to be an effective Marine. And we, in the institution, I think are trying to find that space to where we can, you know, everybody can kind of find their space. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to deploy. You're going to have to be you have to be ready to deploy. And it's a hard life. Nobody said it was going to be easy.
Right.
It's easy when you're single and you don't have any family and all you want to do is go, go, go. As you get older, as you know, things get more complicated. You got kids, your parents get older, you know, you're moving, your spouse has got a job. So I think we're trying to find that space. But at the same time, our job is to deploy and go to war. And we've got to balance the readiness requirements of that mission set against everything else. But any Marine is competent and capable. I want them to stay.
Got it. And so, but the trick is the spectrum of, on one side, we have women in combat arms, and you have the cacophony of voices that say there should be one physical standard. If they can't meet it, they don't belong. Because the North Koreans aren't going to know relative strength. They're only going to know absolute strength. So if they're going to come...
Every Marine who's in a combat arms unit has met the physical requirements for that MOS. EFT, CFT aside. So everybody's got to breathe through the nose a little bit, Max. So we've established gender-neutral standards for every MOS. There's nobody who has gotten any MOS who hadn't met those standards. We'll stop. I told you before this thing started, you know, I find it interesting that all the hue and cry about PFT, CFT that didn't exist until we made it for the first time in 242 years the same. We have always normed for age or gender. So now we have the same test. Everybody takes the same test. why now all this acrimony? I don't get it.
What I hear is I'm going to compete with her for my promotion as an infantryman. I do 22 pull-ups, and I'm short. She does 7, and she's 100%. She gets promoted ahead of me, but the battlefield doesn't know gender, norm, strength.
Yeah, but you know how many women there are in the infantry today?
How many?
4.
4?
I don't think 4 female infantry Marines is going to skew the cutting score for all the other war dogs out there. I take your point. And I suspect after another year, the delta between the number of pull-ups, the number of crunches is pretty much the same. I mean, everything else, I mean, the hike standard is the same. Weight buried under load is the same. I suspect that the delta between the female pull-ups and the male pull-ups will change. Although I will tell you, I believe, having spoken to one of the women that's in an infantry battalion, you know, she's doing the same number. If she were based, if she were rated against the male standard, she'd be doing, she's maxing out her pull-ups. And that's for those Marines to figure out. So, you know, I think that's it's a false argument.
All right, one final question. Can you give us a Marine Corps aviation update? The investigations that we've seen the F-18 and outside of Nashville, afterburners left on. That guy gets a ton of repetitions. Major Norton up at McCaxey. Starts his second gun run lower than his first, and we know the results of that, and then 2 F-18s go bump. Can you give us an aviation update? Do we have coordinating instructions? Take it slower because we don't have enough airplanes and enough repetitions, and how are we navigating it?
Well, you know, there's still some of these things that are not closed, and we want to make sure that we respect the families that are going to get briefed on the investigation. But I will tell you the majority of the events didn't have anything to do with the material condition of the airplane. We know we need to fly more. I can show you statistically in the last year across all model type series that we're flying, you know, every month that goes up, we're flying more hours. Are we flying as much as we would like? I don't think we'll ever fly as much as we would like.
Right.
Part of that was parts, you know, ready basic aircraft. Part of it is that we're in the middle of transitioning every model type series airplane we have, except for 53s. We're in the middle of a reset for 53s as we wait for the 53K. So flight hours are up. We've got to do a better job. We got money. We funded parts and spares at a higher level. That's still going to wait to kick in. That's why it's so important that it would be beneficial that we not get another continuing resolution, because the budget numbers that are being looked at for 18 actually further, you know, improve the readiness dollars we have to buy parts and spares and to go fly. So it took us years to get into this situation. It'll take us years to get out. We're not where we want to be, but we're making progress. In the meantime, we have these events. It's a dangerous business. Again, I'm not going to judge. I'm not a pilot. It's difficult stuff. You're out there. You need to. Things don't. You know, some guys sometimes things happen, and you're able to recover. I mean, you think about all the stuff you did on the ground, where you're like, "Holy cow! I was lucky when I. Good thing that thing missed, or I went here and I went there." Because what we do is dangerous.
Right.
So we've talked to everybody. I got confidence in the wing commanders out there and everybody that they're doing stuff and they're talking. That's why after this last one, I said, okay, look, just take a knee for a day. Talk about what's going on. Make sure we're not, you know, we want to be ready to go to war, but we don't want to push ourselves beyond the envelope where we're taking unnecessary risk. So there's the knee in the curve, and I'm confident that we're doing that. But we do need to modernize. We need to get more new airplanes. We got to get better parts support for the airplanes we got, because we got to fly more. That's not going to end it. We'll never not have accidents, but I think that'll put us in a better place than we've done the past few years. But it would be good if we could be a little more safe.
Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to let people know about the Marine Corps, about what's going on, that I haven't been smart enough to ask you?
No, it's the same thing I tell everybody, I guess, whenever I talk to groups of Marines, and I've tried to be out there as much as I could. I'm proud of every one of you. The great, 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 great majority of you are doing everything I expect you to do. Like you said, keep your honor clean, trying to get better, trying to improve, trying to be a good teammate, being respectful of each other, trying to make your unit better, taking care of your gear. And that's as it should be. I've kind of come to the conclusion that people think that when they earn the title Marine and they get the AEGA at boot camp, they think they're done. No, that's just the beginning. Now it gets hard. Now it gets hard because you're not going to have somebody there standing there telling you what to do. You've got to self-generate. And that's what I guess I would say is I need everybody to understand that, you know, just because you made it through boot camp, which is a significant and accomplishment that you should be congratulated for. Okay, now it gets hard. Because now you're a Marine. And you should be treated like that. And the Marines that you are in your unit, you join, they have a responsibility to help train you and make you better, just like those before. And we all have a responsibility to help everybody get better. And we just got to do a better job of getting better and learning without having to have a mistake happen. You shouldn't need to have a mistake happen to tell us how to do it the right way. Because at school and everywhere, we've written it all down. We know exactly how to do it. And everybody needs to be more disciplined and doing everything the right way. Because when bad things usually happen, we find out, hey, you know, somebody, they either weren't aware or they were outside the parameters.
You know, so I think the D word.
That's where we got to go. We got to be more disciplined. And we got to be more, like you said, hey, if you see something, don't just stand there like, well, I told him or I was going to tell him. You got to act.
No, bow up.
You got to act.
You want to go, Neller? Let's go. But I'm not doing
go.
It. Let's go. And you know that 90% of the time they're not going to fight you, and that solves it. But anyway,
you just stand there and say, no, we're not going to do that. Well, I'm not going to sit here. You have to go over me because I just, this is not right. It's not safe. It's wrong. It's unnecessarily risky. Or it's not, I know what the rules are. And the young Marines, I mean, I don't know where we get this idea that just because you get older that you don't have to follow the rules. And I'm not saying that's the case, but like, you know.
No, it's the drug deal. You learn the drug deal and, well, that line really doesn't matter. And that's not that important, and you begin to, things become relative. But I think in life, one of the concepts is discipline. Safety is a function of discipline. It's not being a teetotaler or not doing the right thing. It's doing things the right way, which requires discipline. What does that mean? Doing it the right way, people supervising, people getting called out, people getting corrected. But it's discipline.
But it's not just in our duties. It's the way we live our life.
No, it's across the board, sir. And again...
The enemy doesn't have to... We don't have to worry about... I mean, we're doing a better job on ourselves than ISIS is doing.
You know what? One of the painful things that happened in my last deployment was out of the last 30 Marines that were killed when RCT-1 was in Helmand for 2010-2011, 19 were our own fault. Screwing with IEDs, blue-on-blue, not getting an ADRAC appropriately, somebody getting confused. There was no ADRAC. And cutting corners. And just absolutely painful to human cost, and you know, just praying that their families never found out that their kid shouldn't be dead. But it's the lack of discipline, and discipline is discipline saves you. Mike Musselman told me that, you know, doing battlefield circulation with Dave Furness that year, he said, you know, you'd roll into a firm base and you'd see it was dirty, the uniforms were not worn appropriately. He said it'd make you angry, and then the next step it'd make you sad because you knew more guys were going to get killed, more guys were going to lose limbs than needed to because they just weren't disciplined. So the D word, sir, in spades. I know you got to go.
That's the leadership failure too. So whoever was the senior Marine there,
right?
They chose to let that happen.
Right. And they've got to live with it. They've got to live with it.
So, if I've ever called a Marine down for whatever, something as simple as not shaving, like, they know. They know they're not supposed to be outside like that. They know that they're supposed to be properly attired. They know what the uniform is. They know what the kit is. They know what the deal is. And it's just like the guy I'm sitting there. Remember when we made the rule he couldn't wear your Polypro on a convoy because it burned?
Right.
I'm out there standing there as a gunnery sergeant up in the turret of the vehicle, and he's got his Polypro on. I go, like, hey, guy, did you see my directive on not wearing Polypro? Yes, General. I said, so you just basically blew me off, right? Get out of the truck. We'll change. Because we've issued you non-flammable stuff. And I'm going to keep you from dying so you can go home and see your family. Oh, I don't understand. And we can do better. And again, this is not the majority, but that there's war. I mean, we don't issue orders generally to put people at an operational disadvantage. We're trying to do it to make us better. Anyway, I appreciate what you're doing with the show. Hopefully you'll get some good feedback. And it's you know, you said, what did I tell him? I'm honored and humbled to continue to be in this office. Every day I realize while I'm here to advocate and support and do what's right to get Marines ready to go to war and make sure their families are ready for the same and that they're able to live their lives successfully and that we have what we need. We're never going to have exactly what we want, but we have what we need to be successful. And I'll do that until I hang this thing up.
Sir, first of all, I can't say thank you enough. I always enjoyed the conversation, as I have since you and I first crossed paths at the basic school. When you were an instructor and I was a second lieutenant, we didn't actually meet there. I just saw you rolling around looking angry all the time. But then at third LA,
my happy thing.
People don't know that, though. They think you're unhappy. But, no, I can't say thank you enough for coming on and doing this and devoting the time out of your day to this. I know you have other things to do, but thank you very much.
All right, Mac. Take care.
All right, sir. Have a great one. That is the Commandant of the Marine Corps. On a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch that dial. More of this program coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.